Halcyon, and welcome to Hugnation. The 10 principles that are the foundation of Black Rock City and the regional events make a big difference, and they're important. One of the things that makes Burning Man so wonderful and so educational is that it's constantly growing. People say, that's why it sucks, it used to be better. Yeah, okay, fine. But there's so many things, that's like saying, man, my kid was so much cuter when he was 4. Yeah, he was, but now he's 8, so love him for what he is at 8. Or now he's an obnoxious teenager. Yeah, but love him for that and figure out what you can do to steer him in the right direction or provide the boundaries or the guidance or the resources to make it as best as possible. The 13-year-old is never going to be a 4-year-old again. Duh. If you want to hang out with a 4-year-old, have another kid. You want to go to an event that's like old school Burning Man, go to a regional. I care about that so much, it makes my voice crack. It's important. It is Burning Man season. There's a little less than 7 months before the burn. You might think, wait, that's Burning Man season? And the answer is, yeah. One of the cool things that I like to remind people when they come back from their first burn and you feel a little depleted or depressed is like, don't fret. It's going to be time to start planning and building for next year before you know it. And the time is upon us. And so this last weekend, we had our first Pink Heart, well, our first productive Pink Heart meeting. We had a brunch. We have a brunch every month, but we had our first big action items. Let's get registered. Let's start planning. Let's start getting our camp gift together so we can start buying things and building things. And that is such a energizing thing because no matter what has happened in the world, knowing that I'm a part of a project that is pushing me in the direction of creativity and giving in such a magical venue, I think it gives me strength in a world that does not always reflect back the highest values of what I think being a human is about. And reflecting the values that I think what being a human is about is one of the reasons why Burning Man is so significant and one of the reasons why it's different than so many festivals. Not that those high values are not expressed at other festivals. But the organization is run by human beings and they do their best. And one of the things that there was an email that was sent out to through the placement group to all the theme camps talking about what they're trying to do now with the outside services group. And that is the vendors that come in to do things like Pink Heart gets outside services come in to fill our water tanks so that we can serve thousands of gallons of water. There's no way we could bring that much on the first day. And even transporting that much on our own would be very challenging. So we partner with an organization or a company and plan that out in advance so we can have deliveries of water. And there's all sorts of vendors that do things like that. In fact, this is the description of the outside services program. It supports the communal effort, culture, and long-term sustainability of Black Rock City by regulating access to the event for qualifying service providers supporting art projects, theme camps, and participants. Service providers who participate in the OSS program must operate with cultural integrity and respect for commercial and environmental compliance regulations and be minimally impactful to the event infrastructure. Now, one of the things that has happened over the years is now that there is so much access to things beyond just radical self-reliance, like we now can give away more water than we can bring ourselves. That is a big shift in how Black Rock City runs, and some of the results of that shift have been detrimental and has led the way to more plug-and-play type situations where vendors will provide everything at a cost. And the organization is now trying to limit that and reduce that and make it so that is not the case. They said, while the OSS program is not going away, we believe it's important and responsible to take a step back from growth for the moment to address the unintended direction some OSS providers have taken, moving from products and services critical to camps to those that support a, quote, culture of convenience, unquote. And I think that's one of the huge challenges that people have with the growth is that it's so much easier now. And when you have a culture of convenience, when you have an experience that does not require you to be pushed to your limit, does not require you to stretch and figure things out for yourself, it's not that much different than a consumer experience that you might get at any festival. And from a consumer mindset, you treat everything differently. You don't feel responsible for the trash. You don't feel responsible for things and art, and you don't feel like you are a part of the creation of this thing. You feel like you bought a ticket and you are being entertained. And that mindset is vastly different than that of a participant. Which is why the participation principle is so critical. That maybe subtle difference is the difference between checking out something awesome and a shift in who you are to being more awesome. And it's one of the reasons why I spend so much of my life talking about the principles, explaining the principles, defending the principles, and trying to help people who come to Burning Man for the first time or second time or third time or eighth time remember what the intention of the principles are. And I should say, as I understand them, principles are not laws. They are guidelines and directives. And I am just a participant who is super passionate and super dedicated for 20 years to this stuff. And so I feel like I like to talk about it as much as possible to anyone who will listen. But I ain't no sheriff of Black Rock City. There's no laws for me to enforce. And the other thing about the principles is that we need to be careful that we look at the principles as guidelines with the intention of protecting this magical community, protecting and encouraging this culture of support and creativity and expression. That's what the principles are supposed to do, according to my interpretation of them. When you get caught up in the principles as principles, it's easy to get off track and to become an enforcer of words instead of a supporter of the culture. These are principles and not laws. There are not principle police that go around. We as a community do self-policing. And sometimes we do a great job with this, and sometimes we do a terrible job with this. When people attack someone who's not following a principle, yell at somebody for, you know, having feathers, or scream at someone for being a dark wad, or you know, be derisive and insulting about something someone's doing that you believe to be outside the principles, you've immediately created this fight, and you've created someone who has to defend themselves, and the only option they have is to fight back. If we enforce these rules softly, we make the opportunity for growth. We can allow people to be a hero. We can invite people in to be parts of the community that are helping make it awesome. And if you have the choice between not being a villain or being a hero, it's way more fun to be a hero. And as we find people who are slipping into villain status, first let's start from ignorance. Maybe they don't know. And then we can educate and let them know. And, you know, if they refuse and they're obnoxious, then we can get into public shaming and anger. But starting with that does not bring the community any closer, and it doesn't solve the problems. It creates a class of people that say, pfft. After I came back from Loveburn, there was a bunch of conversations on the Facebook page for Loveburn, and tons of people sharing amazing experiences, and a fair amount of people that were griping. And there's something, it's important to remember that noting complaints and noting things that could be improved is important. I mean, this Burning Man is a process of growing and learning and doing things better. That's the whole point, is that Black Rock City is a blank canvas every year, and every year you bring back what works and you leave home what doesn't. But there is, you can tell in the way that people post things whether or not you get it. Like somebody posted, "You guys need to get your shit together with the porta potties and the bathrooms." It's like, I think what you meant to say was, "I'd like to help out with the porta potty committee next year." And it can get really easy to say they, when the organizers did so much. They put so much effort, and there's so many volunteers working, so many people doing so much stuff, that I get this little like, no. You do not buy a ticket and then get to expect everyone to take care of your needs. Radical self-reliance means, you know, if it bothers you, then do some research into what some solutions might be. I bet a credit card could have got another porta potty on site if somebody was motivated enough. Or, you know, BYO bucket. That's what Burning Man now encourages you to do just in case. And there was one conversation that happened online about decommodification that I felt was really interesting. And there was a lot that happened in the conversation that I felt was worth talking about. Because sometimes when principles are misunderstood or principles are broken or overlooked, that's a really good opportunity to check in and go, wait, actually, this is important. There's a reason why this is a principle, even though it may not seem significant, it matters. In the central to the event, there was a trailer that was used to bring awesome stuff for a theme camp and the effigy. So there's this the people who had this trailer did way more than their fair share. They, you know, made this event happen. But the trailer had a huge logo on the side. I believe it was sponsored by ShiftPod. And so someone asked in a question, they're like, hey, what was up with that huge, you know, billboard in the middle of the event? And the answer was really, look, the people who had that that trailer, who were working like crazy, everyone was working like crazy, it was an oversight. It would have been better if we covered it. Good point. But a lot of people chimed in the conversation, like, so what? You know, who cares? Like, oh, now we got to cover all logos. We got to cover like our Timex on our watch. We got to cover our logos on our tents. And I was like, no, not really. I mean, ideally, yeah. But there's not a no logo principle. It's a decommodification. I'll just read what it says. Decommodification. In order to preserve the spirit of gifting, our community seeks to create social environments that are unmediated by commercial sponsorships, transactions, or advertising. We stand ready to protect our culture from such exploitation. We resist the substitution of consumption for participatory experience. And this is tricky because, well, years ago, I got myself in hot water with this because Pink Heart every year gives away thousands and thousands of servings of vegan ice cream. And we have a partner that gives us a great deal on the ice cream because they want to gift. They are burners and they love what we do and they love being a part of it. They never ask for anything. Their logo isn't anywhere. They never ask for credit. And after the second year of them doing this, like helping us out in such a huge way, I thanked them by name after the fact online. And it created a huge uproar. People were like, you know, how dare you? You know, you just create a big advertisement for them. And I was resistant at first because I'm like, no, it was a gift. I'm trying to thank them. I think that, you know, more corporations that do this, the better. They and then it was like, people started explaining to me how the slippery slope could work. And then I've had experiences since then. Like we've had beer companies say, hey, can we give you some kegs? But the only thing is you have to serve them out of these cups. It's like, oh, no, we can't do that. We don't serve beer anyways. But even if we did, that's a promotional gift. That's not a gift. That's a promotional item. That's part of your advertising budget. There's a value to you as a corporation. It's not a gift. And that was the argument that people made, is that a corporation, because of the way they exist, they cannot act compassionately. Maybe B corporations can, but they are motivated by profit in some way. And so they cannot have any choice but to desire financial benefit and advertising from an act like that. And we can't trust the corporations to be good about it. And we can't trust people not to let the slippery slope kind of fall apart. Like, what if, you know, we have a huge budget item every year at Pinkheart for renting a huge truck. And what if Pepsi said, hey, you can use our trucks, no problem. Or they'll say, you know what, not only can you use them, we'll give you $1,000. You guys are on the Esplanade? Yeah, use our trucks. And then we have these huge Pepsi trucks that bring our stuff in it. Now, what's the big deal? Well, now we have this new motivation. We now have sponsorship. We now have a value in a culture where we have no value to things. And then now we have sand in the ointment, and now we have an eroding of things. Someone made the argument, they said, well, considering we had some bigger issues, like there was some theft at the event, and like, shouldn't we, like, who cares about a couple logos when we have these big issues? And I would say, actually, it's the same problem. Because when you have a high bar of the principles, when you have everybody who knows what the principles are and everybody who's trying their best to make this event awesome, you create a culture of this high bar. And then anything that slips beneath excellence is seen as like, ooh, that's out of alignment with what we're doing here. It's kind of like back in the day when they, to reduce crime in New York City, they cleaned up the neighborhoods and replaced the broken windows. Because once the place is, you know, you've got the vibration of what's expected, people act in that way. And a Burning Man event, I think, is the same way. If you say, well, who cares about that? Then once you say, yeah, you're right, it's not a big deal, then, well, it's just a little bit of moop. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of this. That being said, there are degrees of the principles and the degrees of, like, someone, is there a difference between the logo on your tent and the logo on a billboard? Yes. Both technically are a little, you know, like if you could cover your tent, that'd be great. You would be even, that's a great idea. And even recognizing that we could do better is important. Like, I have no anger towards Shift Pod or the people who brought that whatsoever. I just think it's an awesome opportunity for us to say, okay, yeah, that's why this is not, that's why we can do better. And as long as we all know that, let's do better. And then we get better. There's a bunch of interesting things that happens with this decommodification. People ask, like, well, what happens if I, like, well, there are artists and DJs that were giving out their cards. And I think that contact information so that people can find you afterwards is great. Especially if it's like, hey, come to my SoundCloud, I've got a bunch of free music. If you are, you know, promoting a link to your album that's going to drop in 2 months and you want people to buy it, then you're advertising at Burning Man and you're out of whack. But admittedly, these are the things that need to be discussed and talked about so that we can maintain the vibe. We can protect this, what makes it different than a festival or a consumer-based environment. I'm kind of coming to this place of like, we have to have a hard line with the principles. The principles are hard, and we need to enforce them softly. We need to, even if we understand what they are, like, okay, actually, you know what? My Timex is technically maybe not ideal in terms of the principles. You may disagree with that, but I can then choose, like, okay, in the grand scheme of my efforts in aligning with the 10 principles, I'm gonna understand that and put that on the bottom of my list. And if someone sees it and they think it's a problem, I think they should enforce it softly and say, hey, you know, actually, it's not too cool to be flashing Timex around with everybody. And you're like, okay, I appreciate that. And then if you can then choose if you want to be a hero to that person or be their villain. It's about finding your sweet spot and trying to do your best and trying to understand what the community is trying to do and then playing your part in it and playing your part as you see it. I am not the dictator of the principles. I am not the grand interpreter of the principles. I'm a passionate person who loves this community and the effect that following these principles has on my life and the people that I know. So this is not the last of me. This is not the last we'll be talking about this. And I will probably make some mistakes in the future, and hopefully we can use those as learning experiences too. We got just under 7 months till the burn. Get ready. I'll see you at home.
Please subscribe to the Hug Nation YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook. You can check out Halcyon Pink on Instagram, or just listen to the wind and I'll be there. I love you. If you enjoy this, share it with a friend, an open-hearted person who might be part of our wonderful collective Hug Nation family.